And we see in Genesis 3 that there was a choice made. And all because of the devil, Satan, tempting and deceiving. And said, why don't you have some of that fruit? We're not allowed to touch that tree. Did God really say that? Did He really mean that? Are you sure that's what He meant? And what happened? They believed the serpent, and they took of the fruit of that tree, and sin entered the world. And with sin came some things. Some of the things that came were destruction, discouragement, doubt, and eventually death. And that leads us to the second miracle, and that's the miracle of healing. Because when sin entered the world, healing was necessary. All kinds of healing. Emotional healing. Roger talked about the fact that we've been around here a long time. July of 1992 is when we first visited and soon became members of Washington Heights. We were younger. We had been married 5 years. And we had just gotten news that we were going to have a baby. Whoa. That thrilled us, that scared us. We had no idea what being a parent was all about. We just looked at our own and said, wonder how they did. And when we looked in the mirror, we thought, oh, they could have done better. But our parents did well. And we were excited. And we're heading out of the 4th of July, and we're going through the summer, and Lisa, there's some changes going on. And then we get into Labor Day. And that Friday morning, she woke up, got out of bed, came back to bed, and said, something's wrong. Labor Day weekend, 1992, we lost that baby. September, 1992. And that hurt. Pastor Dan Gillette was here at the time at Washington Heights. And he counseled us, he consoled us, he encouraged us, and he said, you got to mourn that baby. Because even though that baby was growing, that baby's real. And that baby's in heaven. And you can mourn it, and you can be excited that that baby's with God, and you need to give that baby a name. And being Mr. Smart, I said, but Pastor, we don't know if he was a boy or a girl. And he said, give it a unisex name. And so Sean, S-E-A-N, lives in heaven right now. And we had to go through some emotional healing. And it all came from the garden. And there's all kinds of healing that we have to go through. And sometimes there's marital discord, and we got to go through that healing. Sometimes a whole country, a nation needs healing. Sometimes within the framework of a local church, there's things going, we need healing. But when we think about healing, many times we think about the physical. And in Matthew chapter 8, in the first three verses, right after the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus is coming down from the mountain, and He's greeted by a leper. And He said, Lord, if You will, You can make me clean. And Jesus said, I will. Be clean. And He was healed just like that. And God's still in the healing business. And in 1976, at age 18, I got diagnosed the first time with my cancer. And it gave me 2 years to live. And I was scared to death because I had no idea where I was going. I grew up in a church that I never heard the gospel. I heard the Christmas story. I heard the Easter story. I heard be good, don't do bad. And all of a sudden, I was faced with, oh my goodness. And all I could think about was dying. And my grandma kept saying, honey, we're praying for you. I got sick of hearing that because I was so proud. I was so egotistical at the ripe old age of 18. thought I had it all figured out, but I needed healing. And I went through a year of chemotherapy and radiation. And I went in for my last radiation treatments. Had a big mass right here. Now you see a big mass, and I'm telling you, it's just all Greg right now. Okay? But I had a big mass growing inside me. And the doctor said, these 3 weeks of radiation treatments, you know, 5 days a week, these are going to be the worst yet. So we're going to give you 2 weeks off, and then you come back in. So I said, okay. And during those 2 weeks, I went on vacation with my brother and his family, went down to North Carolina, and right at the end, I threw in a book that had been given to me for graduation at my church a year before. It was something called the New Testament. I hadn't opened it. So during those 2 weeks, I read it. I said, yeah, I'm going to read this. And I read it. I didn't notice anything that changed me, but I started thinking maybe a little differently, but I just read it. I went back, got to the doctor on Monday morning. They said, we're going to take x-rays. We got to know exactly how to position those lead blocks to keep the radiation where it needs to be. I said, okay. She came back out after my x-rays, and she's just shaking her head. My doctor's just shaking her head. She says, I don't know how to tell you this. And I thought, oh no, it's gotten worse. And I said, well, just tell me. And I'm there by myself. And she said, well, we can't treat you. And I said, what do you mean you can't treat me? And she said, Greg, we can't treat what's not there. I said, what? She says, I don't know how to tell you this, but it's gone. And I started crying. And I thought of my grandma. Those prayers had been answered. And I was a recipient of a miracle of healing. But you know, that wasn't enough because I still had those fears. What if it comes back? What if this? What if that? And I realized that I needed the miracle of salvation. And there are times that I thought, well, God healed me. I must be okay. But He didn't heal for that reason. I had no plans to go to college. I decided within a month, that was the end of July of 1977, and I said, I'm going to go to college. I'd been graduated a year. Now I'm going to go to college. How do you get into college when it starts the third week of August? I think it was another miracle because that paperwork went through quick. And I got accepted and I went to Cumberland College, now University of the Cumberlands, down in Williamsburg, Kentucky. And I got to that campus and I'm walking around and I thought, what did I do? About every third person is carrying a Bible. What are they doing? Bunch of Bible thumpers. That's what we called them. Bible thumpers. And you'd see people walking across campus. It was a tremendous campus, tremendous professors, everything. People carrying Bibles. And then I realized I had to take Bible as a class requirement. I hadn't checked it out that great. And that's when I found out this was a Southern Baptist college. Oh my. I'm going to go into class and people are going to start shouting. They're going to start dancing. They're going to, whatever they do, they're going to have snake handling. I didn't know what was going to happen. Of course, none of that happened. And right about this time in November of 1977, I was officiating, refereeing a basketball game in Intramurals. And I got knocked over and I broke my kneecap. And they didn't do surgery then, they just put you on crutches. I was in a full length cast. And guess who helped me get around to my classes? Those doggone Bible bangers. They helped me. They fed me. They did everything but bathe me. They took care of me. How can I ever repay this? They said, when we come back from Christmas break, just go to church with us. And I did. And I went to Main Street Baptist Church, and for the first time, I heard the Christmas story and the Easter story come together. And it's simply this, that God sent His Son, Jesus Christ. Oh, He didn't send Him. Although He taught, and although He healed, and although He did some miraculous things, that's not why God sent Him. God sent Him for one reason. God sent Him as the perfect sacrifice for my sin. And I heard that day that all I had to do was confess. It wasn't about the goodies outweighing the baddies. It was just simply confess, Greg, you're a sinner. And we don't like to be told that. I didn't like to be told that. You're a sinner. You know, you hear it certain ways. And you go, oh, you're a sinner. But the fact of the matter was, I was. And frankly, I still am because I'm not perfect yet. But I realized that if I confessed I was a sinner and I understood that Jesus died on a cross to pay the penalty, to take the judgment for my sin, and that on the third day God said, Amen, I accept that sacrifice, and Jesus arose from the grave and He lives today. And if I just simply put my faith and trust, as much faith as it takes me to sit down in a pew. Faith as small as a mustard seed. Faith like a little child. All those things we read about faith, that I would be what they called saved. I would be saved from a real place called hell. And saved to a real place called heaven. And later on that year, in June, took me a long time, I'm a hardhead. But later on in June of 1978, one day working in a basement with my brother, wiring houses, I just looked up and I said, God, You got to take control of my life. I can't handle it anymore. And I put my faith and trust in Jesus Christ. And I am so thankful for that miracle of salvation. And there might be some here today that say, I've not done that yet. Because we've talked about the miracle of creation, the miracle of healing, and the miracle of salvation. And the one wonder, I just wonder how somebody can hear all this and not be convinced that Jesus Christ truly is the way, the truth, and the life. And that Jesus came into the world not to condemn the world, but that through Him, the world may be saved. And all it takes is a little bit of faith. And I am so thankful that it's that simple. So as we head into this Thanksgiving season, we hear that song so many times, count your many blessings. Name them one by one. Biggest blessing in my life. People say, what is it? And you think about, I think about my wife and my child and friends and family, but the biggest blessing in my life is the one who gave His life for me. And He was there at creation. And He was there for healing. And He is salvation. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank You for this day. I thank You for this group. I thank You for this ministry. And Father, I just pray for every single individual and every single family represented here today. And if they don't know You as Savior, that maybe today would be that day. God, I thank You for how You have blessed Roger and Nancy through this ministry. And I pray that You would continue to bless it. Father, as we head into our time at lunch, I pray for that meal. I thank You for those that have worked to prepare it. I thank You for the resources that You've provided for us to have it. And I just pray, God, that You would nourish that meal to the nourishment and strength of our bodies and our bodies to Your service. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.